and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Gross.
And my name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast slash mental health check-in for two broken brain best friends.
Yeah.
Talking around their problems, but not about their problems, whilst, laughing at movies. But yeah. Given that this is a thinly veiled mental health check-in, Ben, before we get to what we're doing, I feel like it's more important I ask you, how are you doing?
Thanks, babe. I'm doing good, man. I'm having a week off from work, so that's fucking fantastic.
You bastard.
Honestly, mate, it's incredible. I needed it deep in my bones. I volunteered for the Boardroom Gaming Cafe at a science show they did.
Nice.
At a National Trust house, so that was really fun. I spent the day chasing paper rockets all over a field.
It's because the lovely people in the Boardroom Gaming Cafe at Wellington in Telford...
Love them.
...have realised that you need an enabler.
Yeah.
Near you. You know, I'm your digital enabler.
Yeah.
And they're your physical one. So that's good.
It's nice, man.
You've got some big news.
Yeah. I'm 3 years sober as of yesterday. So
well done.
Technically, I'm 3 years and 1 day sober, and I'm fucking buzzing my tits off about it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I need to take a minute just to thank you for being there for all my wobbles, because honestly, don't think I could have done it without you.
Don't be silly, mate.
I know I couldn't have done it without you. Just trying to play it down a little bit.
No, mate.
Because don't want to get emotional.
Mate, don't worry about it. Honestly, in all sincerity, every single one of those wobbles was a pleasure because it made me feel like a more capable person.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
See?
And I've got a whole list of them. And one day when I need some ammunition, I'll just read them out. Remember that time you called me crying?
I do.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that, honestly.
Which one?
Honestly, mate, I couldn't be prouder.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. But I've got a fucking wicked support network of people around me as well. I can't thank all of them individually because there's too many to list, but I love you all.
And you'd forget one and it'd be really awkward.
What I mean. Yeah. You know what I mean? But just know, if you're listening to this and at any point you've helped me, fucking love you. Thank you.
They know who they are.
I'm towards the end of processing. I went through a breakup a few months back. I'm sort of processed, I think, getting towards the end of it, feeling very positive. A few months of self-care.
Top tip for those ladies in the Telford area. If you hide a vibrator in the bathroom, Ben will just think you're brushing your teeth.
Mm, very naive.
Right? Yeah. So like, God, her dental hygiene is spot on.
Incredible. 4 times in 1 day? Woo!
Right.
Pearly white.
Oh, immediately after sex, she's like, I'm just going to go brush my teeth.
Oh, yeah, but that's just natural though, isn't it? That's the story of my life, mate. I've started brushing my teeth after sex purely for that reason. You know what I mean? How are you, buddy?
I'm very nervous. I've got an interview coming up.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not going to say the job, but it's a job that I'd very much like.
Yeah, you would.
We've got a number of secret projects that we're working on.
We do.
That to the casual listener, they're just going to be like, yeah, and. But to us, we know how much extra work it is. So
I'm trying to
juggle all those hats. And then this employer got in touch and went, you know that dream job? Fight for it. Fight for it. Come see us in person and fight for it.
I saw your application. You fucking smashed it.
Hopefully.
It made me jealous of how good it was. And I was like, oh, you know what? Just fuck you. Get the job. Go be happy. Fuck you.
Don't work that out on the podcast, dick.
I was going to say, yeah. The fuck was that video edited, eh?
What are we doing this week, Ben?
Today, we're strapping on our finest PVC. We're busting out our fanciest new rock boots.
I mean, you're just describing a Tuesday, but...
Happy Wednesday, buddy.
Yay.
And we're slathering on enough face paint to make any juggalo proud as we cover, as what some would call it, cashing in, but fuck you, everyone else does it. We're covering The Crow from 1994.
Now, I'm going to be honest. I saw the remake coming out. I thought that'd be fucking hilarious. I've seen the trailer. It's going to be a fucking car crash.
Oh, mate, I've seen the trailer so many times and every time I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can.
We're going to be covering that on the week of its release.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Super fun.
So we thought, you know what? We'll hop on this train. Mm-hmm. And we'll rewatch the original. And I was a bit conflicted about it because I watched the original a lot as a preteen.
Oh, shocker.
And it had a bit of an effect on the following years for me.
Yeah.
In terms of fashion, music,
magicians, outfits,
romance style.
Sure.
She'll love me when I'm dead. and I was a bit wary of revisiting it. Now I have. I feel like it's time for the goth renaissance, mate. I feel like I've let it slip.
Are you getting the duster? You're busting the duster out?
Mate, if I stop working in the kitchen, I can get back on the fucking nail polish. I've been dying to do that.
Save this spiel until after you've done the job interview. And then if you get the new one, there you go, bud.
I'm manifesting it, mate. I'm manifesting it. All right?
Okay.
Well,
okay.
We're chatting away. We've got loads to get into. We're going to be getting into how the production of The Crow is cursed.
Yeah, I've got a fucking chunk for that one, buddy. I've also got a little bit on how the curse is still in effect to this day.
Oh, okay, that'll be fun. We've also got what comic book movies were like before the likes of Marvel and DC started shoving three new entries of any old shit into theaters every fucking year.
Yes, we do, buddy. And we've also got the cultural effect of The Crow had on cinema and how the source material for this film helped heal a deep, heartbreaking tragedy.
What I love about this, Ben, is the listener will not realise that it's taken us 25 minutes to get to this point because both of us apparently can't speak.
Yes, sir. It's a Wednesday and I'm melting. So, this movie came out in 1994, budget of $23 million, raked in $51 million at the box office, fucking smashed it. We are obviously covering it because we're cashing in on the reboot coming out. Give us the fucking eyeballs. Give us the numbers. Know what I mean? We've just hit 81,000 downloads. We have.
But I disagree. I genuinely, I rewatched this and I was like, why haven't we covered this before?
Oh, see,
admittedly, the first idea, I was like, yeah, cashing in. I've since rewatched the film and I'm like, this is like a core memory for me and I don't know why I've not brought it.
Okay.
I've got so much to say about this that would have been relevant a year ago.
Right.
And I think I just blocked it out because I'm trying to block out who I was as a teenager, you know?
I think that's a fair coping mechanism.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm assuming you didn't watch this as a teenager.
That was so mean. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. It's good. I owe you like a bunch of those.
Okay, that's fine. Well, I watched this fairly recently, like the last few years, because it's always been one of those films where I'm like, yeah, I'll get around to watching it.
Right.
I just never watched it, and I was completely on the train of, I've never seen The Crow. Yeah, it's fine. It's all this, that, and the other. Rewatched it recently. Have seen The Crow.
Yeah.
Have seen it. I've grown up with that in my mind for a little while.
Right.
Just didn't know it was The Crow. Don't know why?
Why?
Probably because they use fucking ravens in the film. It's not crows.
It's big crows, all right? It's a big crow.
It's not big crows.
I know you could say a big crow is a raven. You can't. They're very different creatures with different calls.
Yes.
Teenage me's coming out.
Yeah.
I'm pushing my fucking glasses up my nose and talking about spooky birds.
I know.
Let's play the jingle for the breakdown. We're having a breakdown. Regular listeners will know that this is where we go through in detail what happens in this film, just so you know what the fuck we're talking about.
It's a spoiler warning. You've been warned.
Right. In case 1994... to 2024 is not enough time.
It's 30 years.
It's 30 years anniversary of Brandon Lee's death.
Well, yeah, it's because it would coincide with the filming of The Crow, right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the facts about this yet. You've not told
me. Oh, my God.
I'm going to start the breakdown.
This is going to be the show this week, yeah? All right.
I'm in a fighting mood.
Yeah, okay.
Devil's Night in Detroit and the Crims are out in force.
The Crims?
The Crims are out in force, setting fire to shit and being a general nuisance. While they're at it, they violently murder rock musician Eric Draven whilst raping his fiancée, Shelley, which frankly is just not on.
It's too far.
A year passes and Eric is resurrected by a mystical crow, returning as a vengeful spirit driven by the need for revenge and harlequin makeup and songs by The Cure.
Yes, sir. Eric uses his newfound super goth powers to hunt down and kill the gang members responsible for his and Shelley's murder. Along the way, he forms a close bond with the ex-Ghostbuster, Winston Zeddemore, who's working these days as a Detroit cop. Having seen it all before in New York, Winston isn't all that bothered that Eric is literally returned from the dead. That's so true.
Right. I figured that is just... Yeah, he sees him and he goes, oh, I've seen worse.
Oh, dude, right. When you're dead. Yeah, oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Are you just going to disappear now? No, I'll use the door. Okay.
Right.
He drops in to see Sarah, a young girl that his dead fiancée Shelley used to babysit. Although they only ever talk about the weather.
Can't rain all the time.
Can't rain all the time, bud.
As he slowly kills his way through the gang, crime lord and my absolute teenage idol, Top Dollar.
God, you fucking cringe bag.
Learns of Eric's resurrection. Right, he's just the coolest fucking guy.
He's really not.
He's the coolest fucking guy, Ben, and I'll get
into it. He's the sort of person that holds a door open at a restaurant and then gets angry when people don't say thank you immediately. Do you know what I mean?
No, he's not. No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Moving on. He learns of Eric's resurrection by Spooky Bird, and he seeks the Spooky Bird power for himself.
Yeah.
He's definitely into some sort of super kinky shit involving necromancy, or at least his girlfriend is. And looking at her, I'd probably change my hobbies too, if I'm
sorry.
Honest.
Sorry, girlfriend? You mean half-sister? His father's daughter?
Yeah, okay, I'd forgotten that bit.
You've forgotten that bit. Yeah, yeah, it's fine. Sorry, this is your super idol.
It didn't fit into my vision of what I wanted to be. You know,
no, that's fine.
He kidnaps the young weather fan, Sarah, and lures Eric into a final confrontation, injuring the Spooky Bird and cancelling Eric's Hot Topic membership of the Super Goth Powers.
In a climactic sword fight on a church roof in the rain at night, bleeding profusely, Eric defeats Top Dollar, channeling his dead fiance's pain directly through the gangster, causing him to fall off the roof onto a fucking gargoyle. With his vengeance taken, Eric returns to the grave, reunited with Shelley in the afterlife.
I'm going
to
just recap the film, but before I do, in this last paragraph, I'm just going to read out all the goth words. Sword, church roof, rain, night, bleeding, dead fiance, pain, fall off the roof onto a gargoyle, vengeance, return to the grave, afterlife. To recap, a sexy zombie fights gangsters with his healing powers, his John Woo gun fu, and some kick-ass fucking songs.
John Woo gun fu.
It is.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Right, it's pre-Matrix.
Yeah.
It's pre-Blade.
It is.
It's just, we've seen Hard Boiled, and we want a bit of that.
Yeah, true, true. Right, give me your initial reaction to this film. So rewatching it for this show, you watching it, you're thinking, fuck, Top Dollar's the dog. Like, that's the one. Grow my hair out, you know what I mean?
Right, his missus is Biling.
His half-sister, sure.
Right, but you only find that out after you've seen her in the shower.
Doesn't make it better.
They do a shitload of cocaine. Like, he's got an incredible voice.
He's got a great voice.
He's got really flamboyant fashion sense.
Sure.
He's got goons. He's got a nightclub that he owns. And he's got a fit missus, who you later find
Stop
out is his half-sister.
Which
kind of
his half-sister's missus. It's so... It's just like calling Leia Luke's missus. It doesn't fucking work once you know the... Once you know the reveal, stop it. Do you know what I mean?
Rewatching it, I'd forgotten quite how definitively this is the ultimate goth film, and I'm gonna get into that.
Okay.
It was like coming home to a film that had meant an awful lot, but I only realized now on the rewatch how much it had clearly affected me.
Right. I got you.
At the time I was like, that's a cool film.
Yeah.
And then proceeded
lived
to
your
copy
life.
Lived my yeah. life by it, but yeah. was unaware of the fact that that's what I was doing. And rewatching it, I was like, oh.
Is this why we keep getting emails to the podcast account being sort of like, you're trying to register the domain trashnightclubllc.com? Is this why it's keep...
If I had a nightclub, I would call it Trash. Come on.
Damn.
Of course I would.
I'm just going to start calling you Top Dollar from here on out.
Mate, if you could, that would really make my
Rob
life.
Dollar. There you go, mate. Rob Dollar. Fucking ridiculous. So,
but also brilliant. Like,
but also
film.
Fantastic. No, I do kind of low-key love it. I watched this film again for the podcast a couple times because I can't just watch things once.
Mint.
Yeah, it is great. And it's one of those films that's escaped my memory, and I've always been like, you know when you see those posts on Facebook, hi, I need some help finding this film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's always been one of those for me, but I can't accurately describe it because it's always right. sort of like skinny man with a city on fire. And everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Watching it again.
You mean the rapper, Skinny Man?
See what I mean? There's too many avenues to go down. It's fucking impossible. But watching it again, I was like, there was a few core scenes that hit me way different this time around because they're just...
Yeah.
A, I didn't realize how fucking sweet and wholesome this film is the first time around watching it.
It's incredibly sweet.
It's literally
funny. And yeah. It's got its tongue in its cheek, and it's also sinister as fuck.
But also, it's a real fucking rare example of a comic book movie
mm-hmm.
that's faithful to the original in so many ways, but also doesn't lose sight of the message the comic book was trying to present.
Doesn't stick to the source material against its own quality.
Exactly.
There's two avenues are... We've completely disregarded the source material, fuck mm-hmm. yourselves, fans.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's all fan service and somebody walking in off the street has no fucking clue what's happening.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, I love comic book movies and I love video game movies and I love all this stupid shit,
mm-hmm.
but I like them for the wrong reasons. Like, Uwe Boll is unashamedly one of my favorite directors of all time, just because the amount of shit that man has put out is insane. Like, yeah. It's like he takes something that I love and goes... I'm just going to fucking ruin this. And then it's exciting for me now to go, I wonder how he's ruined this franchise for me.
I wonder how he's ruined it for me.
It's such a fun game to play. Like, sitting down to watch an Uwe Boll
movie. It's like being the orderly in a Northern Irish prison in the 80s.
Yes.
Just going, I know there's going to be shit on the walls, but I wonder what he's painted with it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So I love comic book movies and video game movies and like stuff like that because Marvel and DC, they've trashed everything.
Marvel and DC, I'm going to defend them here. They've had 20 years of incredible box office success.
Oh, 1,000. Don't get me wrong.
Films that were originally 8 and 9s out of 10s.
Yeah, 1,000.
And they've now sunk to 4 out of 10s.
Yeah.
And I hear you, they're ruining it now.
Yeah.
But the reason they're ruining it is because they're trying to get bums on seats, which is never the right reason to ruin something.
Exactly.
Have some fucking dignity and ruin it the way Uwe Boll does for just mad cocaine decisions.
Just ruin a franchise the same reason that Uwe Boll does for a tax loophole and German law. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
just,
yeah,
if you're
exactly,
going to do it,
yeah,
do it
yeah.
for the right reasons.
Fuck it with malice.
Yeah. He doesn't give a shit about corporate gain. It's what's in his pocket that counts.
Yes, exactly.
So the source material for The Crow, I've done a little bit of digging on this, and fuck me, mate, it broke me a little bit.
Okay, I mean, obviously, we've established I'm the goth of the pair, so I'm going to know all of this. So you're telling me so you can tell the audience, because I'm just like the most informed goth guy ever.
All right, Rob Dollar, calm your tits.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to get into it a little bit. So The Crow... is a comic book written and illustrated by James O'Barr. He lost his fiance when he was 18 years old in a car accident with a drunk driver.
Did he?
Heartbreaking.
I mean, so yeah, no, I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you knew this. Obviously you did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah. But go on.
So he lost his fiance at 18 years old after a car accident with a drunk driver. The Crow and the comic book art was a type of personal therapy to help him deal with his grief. So he's explained... that he realized all of the other ways that he tried to deal with his grief were just ultimately numbing his pain. They weren't processing. It wasn't helping him deal with it. And it wasn't until he found this creative outlet, which was the comic book art, that he was finally able to start truly healing. And A, it's fucking heartbreaking, the situation it was in. But B, for him to find something that genuinely helped him heal is gorgeous. I was welling up, man. I was welling up and I was like, you know what? I love this guy. I love this guy so much already.
We are weird creatures in that terrible, terrible things can happen to us.
Yeah.
Like the worst things imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that often help us come back from that can often be quite inane.
Yes.
Like, okay, it's a graphic novel. It didn't start as that. It will have started as him doing drawing.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that something as innocent as... what are you doing to deal with your grief? Doing some drawings.
Drawing
some stuff. is a legitimate thing, right? And you can say it's small, it's this, that, or the other. It's not. It's the biggest thing in the world.
Of course it is.
We do a fucking podcast, for fuck's sakes, and it helps.
This is us dealing with our shit, and this is our little creative outlet. Do you know what I mean? But this, I mean, if this just went out to one person and it was just me and you doing this every week, I would still be just as excited.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'd be lonelier, but I'd be just as excited.
And still tell your friends, for fuck's sakes.
Oh,
but one person would be fine.
Yeah, yeah, but also that one person, tell a friend. You know what I mean? So James O'Barr, he was also inspired by an actual crime that he read about for the story of The Crow. He was moved by another tragedy that would sort of enforce the story of the comic book. There was a story of a couple being robbed for their engagement ring and the thief needlessly taking their lives in the process. And Obar said that the sad story inspired Eric Draven's mission of revenge after becoming the Crow.
Right.
And the things that Draven would do in order to set right the injustice that ultimately drove him and his love apart. I've got a quote from him.
Right.
He says, that became the beginning of the focal point.
Right.
The idea that there could be a love so strong and this soul would not rest until it could set things right. And if that isn't the fucking sweetest thing to pull on your heartstrings, knowing the backstory of why you created this franchise, is if that doesn't tug on your heartstrings, you're a fucking monster. I'm sorry to inform you. You are a monster.
Sorry to inform you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the sort of person who robs someone for their engagement ring.
This is what I mean. There's going to be one person unaffected by that story, and it's him.
Yeah.
That person that stole the fucking engagement ring. Fuck you.
Evil Sonic.
Even Rob Dollar's affected by this. You know what I mean? And he's top dog criminal with his fucking duster. Unbelievable.
So I knew some of the design. I've not really read the comic book.
Okay.
Because I'm not a massive comic book. I skim. Like, I'm very superficial. I've read Watchmen, I've read V for Vendetta, Sandman, things like that, although I can't read Sandman anymore.
Right.
Eric Draven, I did know, was based on the singer Pete Murphy.
Okay.
His visual design.
I was going to say, how?
Yeah. He was not held up by Evil Sonic for his engagement ring, but he was the singer of Bauhaus, who did...
Sorry, Bela did Lugosi's you just say did... Evil Sonic for
I've
his engagement ring?
For the
ring.
Fifth time. I've said it six times.
Have you actually...
Episode. Yeah.
I'm so sorry I didn't pick up on that. That's A, that's awful, and B, fucking well done.
I know. It's awesome. I'm glad it finally...
Right. Yeah, man. No, it took a minute.
Yeah.
Distracted by the fucking duster and the bowler hat.
Never had a duster. Mm-hmm. I grew up listening to Bauhaus because my mum was a massive 80s goth.
Okay.
So they did Bela Lugosi's Dead. They did a whole bunch of stuff that was fucking excellent.
Yeah.
They did a great cover of Telegram Sam. They did anyway, great band. And that was kind of the music I grew up on. My mum was really into like Soft Cell, Bauhaus, The Birthday Party, The Cure.
Such good bands.
Great bands. But she was also into opera. Figure that one out. And so
your mum just gets more attractive by but each episode we talk about your mum, she just gets more and more attractive. You know what I mean? I'm going to send her a text after this. I haven't spoke to her in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's because she's angry with you. I won't say that. You'll only enjoy it more.
Yeah, I was going to say, what, are you being serious? Fuck yeah. Fuck text her. I'm in the car. See you in two hours, mate.
But The Crow, for me, represents like the sort of birth, the mainstream acceptance of goth culture into movies. Because superheroes before this, you had Batman, which was like Tim Burton whimsical.
Okay.
But with...
I've got a bit on this. I've got a bit of a list on this. I'm going to rock your brain with, because there's a few that I don't think you're going to think of. But yeah, we had Batman.
Right. We had Batman. We had Superman. We had a bunch of like light family adventure movies.
Yes.
And if you were going to go fantastical, you were going to go family friendly.
Yeah, 1,000%.
This, I feel like... There's a quote from Top Dollar, right? And he talks about... where is it? I've got it here. He says, a man has an idea. The idea attracts others like-minded. The idea expands. The idea becomes an institution. What was the idea? And that's what's been bothering me, boys. And I'll tell you, when I used to think about the idea itself, it put a big old smile on my face. This film ends up sort of spawning a bunch of stuff later on.
Yeah.
But before this, before it does all that, before it's an institution, the idea was Bauhaus, The Cure.
Soft Cell,
that goth, new romantic energy of like, we read poetry, we like castles and lace, and the music's fucking great.
Tom Cruise is the best vampire I've ever seen, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Before it all turned bad and all got institutionalized and ends up in, we'll get to where it ends up.
Yeah.
But it's this little pocket of like, if you like this tune and you like this subculture, here's your Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
And here's your sort of avatar and your superhero.
It was made for a specific subset of people
in
respect of those subset of people, not capitalizing on their culture or their
fashion
or their beliefs. You know what I mean?
It was before this group of people became a demographic.
Yes. No, yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
To be catered to.
Yes.
And... it's really, really special for me because of that. Because, you didn't have that kind of superhero. You didn't have a dark, gritty. You had fantastical Tim Burton Batman was the closest thing. And he's handing fucking clowns dynamite.
Yeah. He still kills that guy. He pushes him down a fucking tube and he's dead. Like, that's the thing.
We covered this in our Batman episode.
I know. It still bothers me. So I've gone into it a little bit. I've gone back through every comic book movie released before The Crow. Haven't watched them.
Oh, my God.
Just looked at them.
Okay.
And the few that I pulled out where I was like, okay, well, that's like a direct thing that I'm aware of. Obviously, if I've missed some, reach out to us and let us know. Barbarella, way back, way, way back. Barbarella,
I mean, wow, you've gone way far back.
Yeah, also Barbarella.
You've been really researching these last couple of weeks. Have you sucked off a librarian or something? What's going on?
No, I'm trying to impress you.
Working every week. Every week you're like, yeah. So I was reading an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Now you've gone, I've researched every comic book movie before this. So yeah. Starting with Barbarella.
Also, I did watch a couple Barbarella movies. Stunning. Like new crush unlocked. It's a whole fucking thing. We'll get into it. We'll cover a movie soon, but we'll get into it then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So you've mentioned Superman 1, 2, and 3. We've had Supergirl. Obviously, we had Martin Serena on. He told us a great story about Supergirl. Go listen to that interview. Swamp Thing, Buck Rogers and from the 20th... Well, Buck Rogers
Would
in the
you
21st
say he's
century.
Superhero?
Yeah.
He's in the Flash Gordon sense, I guess.
Yeah, and then we also had Flash Gordon, and then had the Toxic Avenger. We had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but most importantly, and possibly the most criminally forgotten comic book movie that exists, Howard the Duck.
Oh.
Yeah, the only film where you will ever see human tits on a duck.
I don't want to come back with the human tits on a duck chat. We've done it and it was horrible and I don't want to do it again. Don't
shit
make me
haunts
go back
me.
There.
It haunts me. Like it's the weirdest visual representation I've ever seen in cinema. Incredible. Awful.
Because that implies
but
that ducks breastfeed.
Yeah.
They've got bills.
Yeah. Imagine. Let that settle in for a bit. Pause the episode. Go watch Howard the Duck. It's fucked.
There's
a T-Rex in it for some reason.
Don't.
But rule in the era, we had Batman and Batman Returns. We had the Tim Burton. It was a very cliched, very over the top, very sort of stylized, super goth. Oh, it's so dark, grim dark. Ooh.
But it was comic book rendered visually as it
of
is
course.
On the page. Do you know what I mean? It
of
was the melodrama of the page was brought to the screen. And they're fantastic films for doing it.
Dude, that wasn't a negative thing at all. They're incredible movies. Now, The Crow is a wildly different kettle of fish, right? Because
yeah, it really is.
It's such a fucking massive gamble for Paramount when they picked up the rights. Because, like you've just said, moviegoers before The Crow, it was very family friendly. They were very sort of like, I'm here to save the day with my big muscles. But then all of a sudden...
If you were being sold emotion, you weren't being sold fantasy. They were kept in separate arenas.
Yeah, yeah. But whereas in this one, you've got a skinny goth boy.
Murder spree.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, that's wildly out of left field for a comic book movie. And Paramount were like, we can gamble on it. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't do great for them, though, did it?
Well, I mean, no, because someone stepped in. I have something on this shortly, but someone else had to step in, and that's fine.
Right, okay, that's let's fine. Just get to it now, because I'm
Are you ready
I'm
for
seeing,
this?
We've got our little page of notes that we can both see, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just headlines,
yeah.
And then there's one, which is just...
The biggest paragraph in existence.
Yeah, no, it's bigger than the paragraph you had for Pearl, and we only got 5% of the way through that.
Yes.
So because I'm obviously the gothest goth that ever lived, I probably know all this.
Well, I mean,
so
when I
hit something I know, I'll just be like, yeah, skip. Listeners don't need to know. They don't care.
Yeah, all right.
They do.
They all need to know. I'm going to do it anyway. Also, you might not care, but also I'm very proud of my research. This is in depth. So when you suggested covering The Crow, I was like, oh, it's Rob's. This is going to be Rob's film. I need to do some shit. Everyone knows it's like the cursed film, you know. Obviously, like rest in peace, Brandon Lee. This is his last film. He was very unfortunately, famously shot.
Was he?
And killed whilst filming a scene for this film.
Okay.
So I guess that you knew that one, but that's fine.
Yeah, I knew that one.
But what I'm going to do, mate, is I'm going to go through the production little bit by little bit.
Okay.
Because it's a pretty fucking mental story, the fact that this film ever came out, to be honest with you. So
you've got that face on you where it's like you're about to tell me something insane and you're just grinning.
Yeah, this is my shit eating grin because you're about to eat shit. You ready for this?
Okay.
Rob Dalla, ready?
Yeah.
The Crow. famously cursed production with the unfortunate death of Brandon Lee on set, which everyone has heard about. And I know that you've heard about this, Rob Dalla. I know you know about this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's always been in one telling or another. There's so much misinformation and rumors and all this shit that spread. And it's the water's a little muddy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the production, mate, it had so fucking much more going on. It's actually unreal. I'd not heard about most of this shit, to be honest. I'd heard a few rumors.
Okay.
But getting to the actual facts is ridiculous. So,
okay.
Before production had even started,
mm-hmm.
a mysterious caller phoned the production crew and left a voicemail
right.
on one of the answering machines stating that they should not make the Crow movie.
Okay.
And if this film was to be made, many bad things would happen.
Okay.
Ominous, right?
I mean, yeah, ominous, but then I also would need like a sample of,
yeah, of course.
How many calls any movie gets from a nutter going, you absolutely should not make The Cat in the Hat 3.
Yeah.
Because if you do, bad things will happen.
But that one you can believe because, you know what I'm saying?
Hindsight, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Hindsight.
Fair. Yeah,
so
yeah,
obviously yeah. this one was ignored. It was fine. But did you know did you know about the phone call there, Rob Dalla? Did you know that the mysterious voicemail?
Yeah,
you knew that one. Yeah, of course you did. Of course you did.
That one, mate.
Yep. All right, yeah. Sound.
Day one stuff, mate. Day one stuff of Goth School.
Day one stuff of Goth School. All right, so day one on the set of The Crow, an electrician was working on a cherry picker, like a crane on the back of a truck.
Yeah, yeah.
And his cage collided with a bunch of electrical wires, like overhead electrical wires, that sent an ungodly amount of electricity surging through his entire body, cooking his internal organs and setting him on fire. After being rushed to the hospital, now thank fuck,
right?
He survived.
But
he had to have his ears amputated due to the accident and suffered severe second and third degree burns on his internal organs and his external.
Oh God, they sous-vide the lecky.
oh my God.
Jesus Christ. I also love the fact that that's not in the notes. You just had that because I knew that one, day
right?
one.
Yeah, you knew that one though, right?
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, you knew that one. Obviously, yeah, Rob Dalla knows all, mate. So also on day one though, bud, I don't know if you know this one. The same day, an equipment truck was set on fire.
Okay.
That's day one. Obviously, you knew this. I'm just doing this for the listener. So this is just me and you, dear listener, from here on out. You know what I mean? Rob Dalla's over there in his bowler hat and duster, fucking polishing off his brass.
Sipping my brandy.
Sipping his brandy. Polishing off his brass knuckles. Sending cryptic texts to his boys. You know what I mean?
Right, for a moment, I thought you were going to accuse me of polishing off my half-sister.
Oh, my God. Hate that. Hated that one. So shortly after day one, but offset... A publicist for the movie was involved in a car accident.
Okay, I mean,
you knew that one as well.
Productions, there's lots of those. Yeah, come on. You get 200 people together, one of them's going to have a car accident.
All a coincidence, right?
Right, yeah.
So production continues. A set worker accidentally stabs a screwdriver through his hand.
I do that daily.
You do that
and
daily.
And there's hundreds of people on films, all right? These are just accidents.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone's got a screwdriver.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone does have a screwdriver, Ben.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I just said that.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, fine. Okay, right. Yeah, fine. I'm not counting these two. These are just coincidences.
No. Oh, yeah. All right. Even the stuntmen aren't safe, mate. A stunt worker fell through a set roof and broke many ribs.
Had ordered some?
His.
Ooh.
Internally, in his body. Broken ribs after falling through a fucking roof. Not a great day at work.
Not
so even the people that are trained to be fucking battered on set, they're not safe from this curse. Obviously, you know all this one, right? It's fine.
On this film, though, I do feel like once Steve the Lecky had boiled himself.
Do you know what's really funny?
Like, you'd put a screwdriver through your hand and you'd go...
I called him Steve in my notes as well. I've got Steve the Electrician written in my notes. That's weird. That's really weird. Sorry, go on, I've missed the next bit.
It's because we're psycho, mate.
Yeah.
I feel like once Steve the Lecky's boiled himself, right?
Yeah.
You put a screwdriver through your hand and you're like, oh, could be worse, though.
Could be worse.
You'd crash your car, you'd go, oh, could be worse. Because matey boy's having his ears removed tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's fair. That's fair.
I feel sorry for all these people you've just listed who invalidated their own traumas because Steve fucked up.
But yeah, that was on day one as well. You know what I mean? So you're not beating that. Well, right. I mean, I'm going to get to it. Okay, all right.
That's staying in.
Oh, God, fuck's sake. Okay. I'm fine with it. It's fine. There was one way to beat it, and it was beat. The disgruntled driving.
Yeah.
This is a new segment, right? This is a new fact. Disgruntled driving. You know about this one, though. You're fine.
Yeah.
So it's an odd one.
You need to drop that, man. You're just beating a dead actor.
I want to laugh really bad, but also I feel like too many of them. You know what I mean? If there's too many of them, it's just me.
Yeah.
So, an odd one, but a disgruntled employee drove a truck through the set whilst on production. Now, no one knows why.
Because he made a phone call a few weeks earlier.
You would think that, right? That might have been it. So there was rumors that he was like, it was just a rage fueled like, fuck this job type stuff. I'm sick of this curse. I'm driving through the set, and he drove a truck through it. And then other ones where it was just sort of like, it was a genuine accident and he carried on working there. But the fact are still a mystery to this day. It's never really been nailed down. It's just all, you know, out there for people to fucking muse upon, right?
Right.
Now this is all building to something. It's all building something. We're nearly there.
Right.
Whilst they were filming, the East Coast of the United States of America in 1993 had what was known as the Storm of the Century.
Okay.
Which was a fucking enormous blizzard to hit the whole East Coast. I mean, like, when I say it was bad, it was snowing in Florida.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you've ever been to Florida or if you know about Florida. It's all old people and alligators from what I've seen in
movies. I mean, it snows in Miami, but usually that's not legal.
Yeah, exactly. So the fucking set was hit with mega winds, 30 inches of snow, ridiculous winds all throughout production, and it destroyed shitloads of the sets, caused tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage. So this is all just sort of like happening, right? The curse continues. Now we're at the point that everyone knows about. And I've written out a piece because I don't want it to be full of crass jokes, Rob. Looking at you here, Rob Dollar.
You get one. You get one. And then
one's been done.
The fact of the matter is that this, you know, Brandon Lee was an insanely talented,
incredible actor.
He was someone's partner. He was someone's child. And a movie is a wonderful thing. You and I both use movies to therapize ourselves, to anesthetize ourselves to the world, to do this show.
Of course.
The idea that anybody involved in the making of something that we love so much dies is just abhorrent. Like, it should never happen.
It's fucking heartbreaking.
Workplaces should be safe.
Yeah, 1,000%.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I've written this bit. If it sounds read out, it's because I'm reading it. I'm just going to get through it. So, the unfortunate series of events that led to Brandon Lee's death are readily available all over the internet, right? You can research it yourself. There are tons of details out there. And if we were to go into it fully, it would run us way over time because there are countless checks that could have been done. There are measures that could have been put in place. For whatever reason, they weren't done.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended with Brandon Lee losing his life during a take for this film. So because of the nature of the scene, no one realized what had gone on. So the scene is Brandon Lee's character is supposed to get shot in the stomach. The gun was loaded with blanks. There was a safety issue with the bullets that the gun was previously loaded with. The blank then forced the previously lodged bullet into Brandon's abdomen.
Yeah.
And they were filming the scene. Brandon obviously fell to the floor. They thought he was acting. No one really realized what was going on until a huge pool of blood began forming around Brandon's body.
Oh, God.
So he was rushed to the hospital, but declared dead hours later, unfortunately. And this all happened before breaking news being available immediately to everyone's phone, meaning that many, many rumors spread, including actors being arrested for murder. The take of him being shot was used in the final film, you know, et cetera, et cetera. All this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the weirdest one, mate, is the conspiracy theories that came out of it.
Right.
So,
what conspiracy theories?
Dude,
it's a workplace accident and a tragic one.
The police ruled it that way. Yeah. The police ruled it to be 100% an accident. No one is at fault. No crime has been committed, right?
Right.
I found a mad conspiracy theory, and I'm in no way saying that I support this at all. I just think it's mental that this is out there.
Just repeating it on a show listened to by a couple thousand people. I'm just repeating it on a show.
Yeah, just if you want to internalize this and make it your mantra, it's fine. Right. No, I'm joking. Okay. No, it's terrible. It's a conspiracy theory that this was a triad hit.
Oh, okay.
Put out on Brandon Lee.
I do actually know this one in a weird roundabout way.
Okay.
because I saw the Bruce Lee biopic made in the 90s called Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, which is actually a sick film.
Incredible movie.
As long as you don't take it to be in any way factual.
Sure.
Because it's got a demon in it.
Yes.
But there's a whole thing there about he refuses to appear in these triad-funded movies.
Exactly.
Right, okay, yes.
So there's that. So that's part one of the conspiracy theory. Bruce Lee was famous for turning down any involvement or any parts that were funded in movies that were funded by the triads. So the theory is that the triads ordered the hit on Brandon Lee in a similar way that Bruce Lee's character dies in Game of Death. So in the Game of Death, one of Bruce Lee's final films, his character plays an actor who is shooting a scene where he's supposed to be shot with a blank, but ends up being shot with a real gun because the prop gun and a real gun had been switched out.
Oh, fuck.
Horrible coincidence. People took it to heart and started trying to piece two and two together and got fucking 44.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, this conspiracy theory was born. And it's...
Yeah, but here's the thing, and not to be a tinfoil hatter.
Sure.
I don't believe that it was a triad hit. Like, let me just round that off.
Of course. Neither did the police.
You know, and I was like, oh, that's a coincidence. Yeah. I think there is a curse, mate, because how many coincidences can one film endure?
It's kind of crazy, right? So this curse carries on as well. This curse carries on. So after the death of Brandon Lee, obviously the production wanted to continue, but only with the blessing of the Lee estate.
Right.
They were like, look, we're gonna do it right. We're going to make the film that Brandon wanted to make. We're going to finish it. We're going to put it out. It's going to be his final work. It's going to be respectful.
Yeah.
And the Lee estate signed off on it and were like, yep. We can, you know, we'll sign off it. We want to honor his memory. That's great.
Yeah.
Paramount didn't think that. Paramount were like, right. Nope.
Nope. It would be crass. It would be this, that, or the other. We're not doing it.
Yeah. Okay. We're gone. So it's just not happening. So now, obviously, you've got a production of a half-made incredible film. The studio's just dropped out. And then this is where Miramax step in and invest an extra $8 million. Obviously, with the blessing of the Lee estate, they invest an extra $8 million, took a huge fucking gamble, again, not only on finishing the cursed film, but also CGI and like face replacement CGI wasn't a big thing in the
wasn't
early 90s.
A thing. No.
This is what I mean. So they took a massive gamble on that being A, doable, B, done well, and
yeah.
B, sellable to an audience that lives in a world now where they know that the lead actor has died midway through the film.
I mean...
And they did it.
Look, I know Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm. You do?
Not everyone's cup of tea.
Is he one of the boys? Is he one of...
Yeah, he comes
Rob around. Dollar's boys.
He did know what he was doing at times.
40% of his work life was spent doing really good stuff.
Yeah.
60% of it was doing the no-no. You know what I mean?
Doing the no-no.
Yeah.
I think you could make the argument that this cursed production, this Brandon Lee death, all this kind of stuff that became the movie fact that everyone knew pre-internet, right?
Yeah.
Like I'd mistakenly thought that it was when he's at the end of my table when all my goons are sat there and they all open the automatic fire, right?
Yeah,
no, it's not. It's the flashback scene.
Yeah.
I watched an interview with Michael Massey, who plays Funboy.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's a rough interview, man.
It's a rough interview where they're like, you know, have you got over it? He's like, you don't ever get over something like that. You just move. No. You move with it.
He quit acting for a year to try and fucking process this. He was in therapy for PTSD for a long time to sort that
long,
shit out.
Long, long time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were friends.
Yeah.
He knew Brandon's fiance.
Yes.
And he said in the interview, you know, I see her now. She's with someone else. She's got a little boy. She's happy. But, you know, I still think... I was involved in something that should never have happened. And if you look at the change in the culture of movie making that happened following Brandon Lee's death, Brandon Lee's stuntman was Chad Stahelski.
He was.
Who we probably now better know as the creator of the John Wick franchise.
And
you think how many fucking guns are on those sets and how few accidents there are.
It's crazy.
Related to those movies, you just go... Yeah. Okay, there are some lessons being learned, but I think wider culturally, in a wider cultural sense, this film is super, super impactful. You remember when we were young and we bought like, do you remember when Slipknot did My Plague for the Resident Evil soundtrack?
When that video dropped on Kerrang, I lost my shit. I'm not certain, but I'm like 40% sure that might have been the first time I ever come. Like, it was fucking glorious. That video, the first time I saw that, I'm turning it around like a knife on a shelf. I was like, oh my God.
Not that lyric ever. We've discussed that lyric on the podcast. It makes no sense. You don't store knives on fucking shelves anyway.
Sometimes you do.
We're not repeating that again. Go find it in the back catalog. The soundtrack for this film was the template for things like My Plague. So Resident Evil had a heavy metal soundtrack.
Yeah.
And also Blade.
Yeah.
Queen of the Damned.
Yes.
Had a heavy metal soundtrack.
Banger.
Twilight had an album come out with songs that were in it for like a few bars.
Hold on. Are you referencing Muse and Radiohead in the same breath as like the Blade soundtrack?
This is my point. There are elements of this film
that
come across a little bit Morgoth, a little bit Hot Topic,
okay,
a little bit incel with his katana and his fedora on TikTok going, I would die for you.
Yeah, but that's the main villain, Rob.
Lens in.
That's the main villain.
No, it's not. The main villain's a businessman.
He's sitting around fucking burning eyeballs being like, I must get the crow power. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. Just go fuck your half-sister if that's what you're going to do. Fuck off.
He's trying to do his business. He needs the building clear.
Stop it.
Shelley's trying to keep the building open, trying to rally the fucking tenants. And he's like, no, enough of that. You're dead. Enough about that. And then when he fights Eric, he's like, do you know what, mate? It's been quite fun. I've quite enjoyed this. I've got nothing against you personally. All power to you, boss.
Right. Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic.
Right. My point being,
yeah,
this soundtrack, I mean, it had Rage Against the Machine, it had The Cure, it had Nine Inch Nails, it had Pantera, it had Rollins Band.
Yeah. Right? Fucking incredible.
Incredible fucking soundtrack.
Yeah.
But I think, like, new metal came out, was fresh, was interesting, and then it devolved into a parody of itself.
I don't know, man. Limp Bizkit are still fucking faithful. You know what I mean? They're still there. They're still fighting the fight.
I was never a Limp Bizkit boy.
Really? You were never in it for the nookie?
No.
Are you being serious?
Nope.
Mate, I had a backwards cap on. I was all disgusting about it. You know what I mean? I just kept rolling.
No, because I was a Nine Inch Nails guy.
And all right.
Trent Reznor famously... When Fred Durst was made CEO of Interscope, Trent Reznor called his lawyer, figured out how much it was going to be to break his contract with Interscope.
Yeah.
It was over $1 million and he paid it. And he said, it's worth far more to me that Fred Durst has nothing to do with my creativity.
That's fair.
Than this $1.5
million. It reminds me of a fun little lyric that Limp Bizkit said where a Nine Inch Nail will get knocked the fuck out. You know what I mean? I'd live by those words. I like that.
Really?
You know what I mean? I feel like it's a very deep, thought, insightful lyric that Fred Durst has put into the world.
But I feel like the influence that this had when it became this sort of acceptance of goth culture... Mm-hmm. That top dollar speech of the idea was great and then it became an institution. And all of that edgelord goth stuff that you talked about hating.
I do.
I think this, unfortunately, you have to lay the blame for all of that stuff at people trying to do this.
Okay,
It's the self-parody of this.
You have to word it better than that, though. Not better, you have to word it slightly differently, sorry.
Right.
So I don't blame The Crow.
No, I don't blame The Crow.
Because I think The Crow did what it did amazingly well, right?
I blame The Imitators. It's the people
imitators
that came along
exactly
and imitate the idea, and then you don't know what you're doing it for anymore.
Exactly.
Because you're not making it from that group of people. You're making it for that demographic.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what we see with Marvel.
Okay. Good.
It stops being made by comic book fans for comic book fans, and if other people like it, fuck it. It's the comic book fans are a demographic.
Yeah, but also, Marvel are just trying to speed run what Uwe Boll has done for his entire career. They're just sort of like, they created something wonderful and then they are the ones that are actively ruining it. It's mental to me. Do you know what I mean?
Speaking of the soundtrack, do you want to play a game?
I would love to.
I have got some goth song lyrics here.
Ooh,
and you're going to tell me
if they
appear in the film The Crow
right,
or on its soundtrack.
Can we preface this with something, right? This is going to get upsetting. Because I don't want to personally offend you in any way, shape, or form.
Please do. You owe me
but
plenty.
I can't control my cringe. You know what I mean?
Right, ready?
Okay.
Every night I burn, every night the dream's the same. Is that lyric in The Crow?
Say it again.
Or its soundtrack. Every night I burn, every night the dream's the same.
Yes, it's in The Crow.
Yes, it is. That's Burn by The Cure.
It is.
Right. AIDS is killing the entire African nation and a vaccine is still supposedly under preparation.
All right, well, that kind of sounds like something that Bono would say at Live Aid whilst then going home to bathe in his billions of dollars. You know what I mean? So I'm going to say no.
Oh, sorry, mate. That's on Darkness by Rage Against the Machine.
Okay.
Right.
Oh.
Water, fire, air and dirt. Fucking magnets. How do they work?
It's such a good lyric, because how do they work? The magic. Magic. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say it's in there.
I'm afraid not.
Well, why not? We can fucking put AIDS in there, but we can't put magnets. What sort of bullshit is this?
That was Miracles by the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Similar makeup, I thought I might, you know.
That makes sense. No. Also, it makes sense that the Insane Clown Posse would be confused by magnets.
Yeah. I say Jack be nimble, Jack fall dead, Jack bend over and give Jilly head.
I can't get the thought of a chick walking into their mate's kitchen, seeing a fridge magnet and freaking out, be like, what the fuck? How does it fix? What the fuck? Sorry.
I've got to go write a song about this, man. I've got to process.
Fuck, how do these magnets even work?
Is this or make a graphic novel?
But we got like earth and wind and fire and dirt. But how the fuck do magnets work?
I love that there's another universe out there, Ben, where we've got a music podcast and we're going into the origin of the song Miracles by Insane Clown Posse.
Fuck yeah, man.
And it's you going, an awful tragedy, and me going, isn't it wonderful that we've got these human outlets? You know?
Yeah.
That he's gone through something, but he can just write a song about it.
Also, magnets.
Right, next lyric.
Go on.
I say Jack be nimble, Jack fall dead, Jack bend over and give Jilly head.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, Colour Me Once by the Violent Femmes. Well, I think you did pretty well. Oh, no, sorry. There's one more. I missed it. Now you get to watch her leave out the window. I guess that's why they call it a window pane.
Fuck off. Fuck off. Oh, dude. This is why I hated you when I met you. Because that's the sort of shit that you used to say.
Yeah.
Like, that was it in uni. That was uni, Rob.
Yeah.
I guess that's why they call it a window pane. Fuck
yeah, because I employed my love of puns in a slightly more melodramatic way.
Oh, God.
Because I'd seen The Crow and thought it was clever and charming. And it was only when we met and you went, are you a fucking magician? I went, oh. Oh, I see through now. It was like you held up a mirror and I saw my true form and I went, I've gone a bit wrong here, haven't I?
I'm so sorry. What I did is I saw you really living your true self and went, nope.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm all the better for it. Now you get to watch her leave out the window. I guess that's why they call it a window pane.
Right. I'm going to say no because I don't want it to be in there. I've got a feeling that it is in there, but I'm going to say no out of the... I'm going to try and manifest it.
Okay.
So no.
It is famous goth duo Eminem and Rihanna. Just gonna stand there and watch me burn.
Oh my God, thank fuck. Is that really a lyric from that song?
That's by one of our preeminent lyricists of this generation, Eminem.
Fucking hell, man.
Yes, mate.
Oh, God damn.
We're going to rate this movie, and I don't really know where you're going to go with it. I don't know where I'm going to go with it. But before you do, how you doing really, man? I asked you in the intro, and we were, you know, we like to keep that short and snappy and breezy, but like, tell the people and tell me, like, are you good?
I'm doing really well, man. I am doing really well. Each day is a little bit different. So some days are good, some days aren't so good, but everything is very middle of the road at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's very beige. I'm not... My anxiety is calmed right down. I'm no longer living in fight or flight, which is a huge fucking achievement because I've been there for about a decade.
Yeah.
So it's the strangest thing, waking up and not panicking immediately and then spending the next 15 hours trying to figure out what the fuck I'm doing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know that one.
So it's really nice at the moment. I also think I've never been in a place where I've got such a stable support network. Like, my family have always been incredible. They're always like fucking creme de la creme. I would never ask anyone to change. I love all of them incredibly deeply. I would do anything for them. But now I've got this, I've got this little group of friends who are just the most fucking wonderful people on the planet without even trying to be. There is no expectation. There's no conditions to being here. It's just existing with a group of people that are going through similar situations, and everyone is fine talking about it and supporting each other. Okay. I've never had that. Right. Obviously, I've had it with you. I've had it with you.
I'm not going to be sat there going, me, 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 me. I'm genuinely, you have to.
No,
you
I know.
Have to, yeah.
No, but this is the thing. Like, I've had it with you, and then that's been it. You know what I mean? You've been my, like, lifeline for the longest fucking time. And that's slowly, like, branching out into sort of, like, finding my people, which is fucking glorious. So thank you to everyone. Thank you as well, because you're the fucking main stem of this. I'm processing stuff better, feeling healthier. My reactions are much more sort of like...
normal.
Normal, yeah.
Not to mental. Be rude, but I've been to you the last couple of weeks. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's yeah. That's,
no,
that's
dude, better. Honestly. But like, yeah, it's all going all right. How are you? Fill me in on what's going on with you, because I know you had a rough...
Like, I feel like we've swapped. Like, work's been rough. And I think when I first got here and I crash landed after a massive mental breakdown, and like I'd had them before and I'd ignored them, because I spent so long telling myself that I wanted to be a music producer, I wanted to be a sound engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I figured out, I think I subconsciously figured out that it wasn't going to make me happy, but I wasn't able to consciously realize that, because it would mean all that effort would have been wasted. So I had to just keep doing the thing.
1,000%.
And eventually that third and final mental breakdown happened. I went out my window, I landed, and kind of landed back here.
Yeah,
with living with family in my mum's guest room.
I guess that's why they call it a window pane.
That's exactly why they call it a window pane,
I'm
mate.
So sorry.
No,
I'm so
perfect. Do you have any idea how happy that joke makes me? Oh my god, they're fun, right? They're fun.
I didn't know whether it was too soon.
No, it's good.
Good. Okay,
Good. I crash landed here, and I wanted to get a job that was not cerebral. Was doing something with my hands with other people.
Yeah,
didn't have a chance to get in my head. I didn't have time to overthink.
Sure.
I was doing something manual.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm better now, and as a result, I don't need that anymore. But obviously, I can't just switch out of that immediately.
Of course. Yeah.
I've been finding that really stressful, and I've been complaining a lot internally about it. And I'm now faced with the potential that I am going to get out of this guest room, and I'm going to get out of the kitchen, and I'm going to be doing on my own two feet again.
Mm-hmm.
And as much of it as I've been complaining about what I don't like about where I am and what I'm doing, I know it, and it's comfortable, and it's not scary, and I'm afraid to want the change, because if I don't get it, it's going to hurt more. So I'm in just like this constant state of like nervous anxiety, like I really want this thing, but I don't want to want this thing as much as I want the thing, because it will hurt more if I don't get it. And also, if I don't get it, then I get to keep doing this, and I know this, so that's kind of fine, because it's just reverting to what I know. And
I get you.
Yeah, it's a big bag of mad at the moment.
But also, mate, if just sort of like to butt in at the very end, I've seen from where you've gone, from where you were to where you are, and the fucking, dude, the strides that you've taken to just process shit in a healthy way, get your feet back on the ground, get your head sorted so that you're in a space where you can fucking function and be in a place to want the thing that is a bit scary, and it might hurt if you don't get it, but the fact that you're here wanting it makes me so fucking proud. It's unreal, man.
Yeah, thank you. I just don't know if the processing I've done is processing or if it's just really good packing. Do you know what I mean?
I get you.
And going back out into the world, that's going to be the test.
Right.
Did I actually process shit or have I just bottled it really well? And I'm not going to know until I get out there.
Do you know what I think is going to be the biggest surprise?
Right.
Is that you're going to have subconsciously done what my therapist has helped me do over a couple years, which is you unpack something that's a bit messy and you look at it and you make it neat and tidy and you go, that's what it is. And then you put it back in a nice, neat fucking place and you're like, well, that's where it is. I know where it is. I know what it is. It's no longer a big bad. And then you do it again with the next thing. And then before you know it, you've got this big cupboard right. of like scary stuff from the past.
Scary stuff, but it's organized. It's alphabetized.
It's organized. It's alphabetized. It's color coded. You know what it is. You know where it is. There's nothing unexpected in there. There's no fucking like demons creeping under the bed, because under your bed, it's just nice and neat and organized, mate. And to be honest, it's taken me fucking years of a stranger being paid to listen to my shit to tell me how to do that stuff. And you've just
I don't know
if I'm doing it right, mate. And I'm like, oh, fuck you. Just annoyingly good at everything.
I haven't. The thing is, I haven't paid that stranger, and I know myself. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really good at lying to myself. I'm honestly mint at it. I'm not going to know. I'm not going to truly know how much I've done until I, has this leg healed? I have to stand on it. And there's a chance it hasn't, and I go right back to where I was. And that's scary. It's also scary if that doesn't happen, and I'm still just in the cast. So, yeah, we'll see.
Whichever way you look at it, though, mate, I'm at your side, whether it's as a crutch or whether it's as a fucking cheerleader or whether it's at someone that's able to, if you
mate,
do have a little
spooky
trip
bird,
or wobble,
you make me invulnerable.
That's what I mean. I'm here
you're
for it, man.
Bird.
Yeah.
You've helped me come back from the dead.
Yeah.
And yeah,
there you go.
You heal all wounds.
That's it. I'm the goth mommy. Go get me my engagement ring back.
Speaking of healed wounds, I want to do some comment corner with you.
Oh, but
you posted.
I did.
That you were 3 years sober, and it went quite well, didn't it?
It was all right. Yeah. It went. It was. It's odd being vulnerable, but yeah, it's quite nice.
I've got some emails that I want you to read.
Okay.
But before you read them, I'm just going to read a selection of the feedback that you got.
Okay.
So we posted about you being 3 years sober. Martin Serene got in touch, good mate of ours. He said, congratulations, Ben. All the emojis there.
Thank you.
Bradavial said, called me a savage, but said, congratulations, Ben. Dissect That Film congratulated you on the massive achievement. Godzilla _ from the Godzilla series. Congrats, brother. World of Horror Podcast. You already know this, but you're the man, Ben. Love heart emojis. Jenny Drew, so proud. Mr. Giles, time to review Human Traffic. Congratulations, clap, clap. Stronger than most.
Mate.
Wayne Pesalia got in touch. Yes, lad. Congrats. Skinny Drawn Boy, congrats. And Evilon, congrats, my dude.
So that's fucking incredible. Honestly, like, the amount of people that reached out is insane. Mm-hmm. And I love all of you very, very dearly. It genuinely does mean the world. And I know it's just sort of like a flippant thing. It can, or whatever, but, and I'm never going to be able to say how much it really means because I'm emotionally broken. Yeah. But also, thank you. It genuinely does mean the fucking world. And it helps every day.
Good.
Yeah.
Now read them fucking emails.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Right. We have got two emails. We've got one from Rose, who is a very, very dear friend of ours. Incredible listener. Super active in the Discord. Join our fucking Discord. Come meet Rose. She's fun. She emailed us saying, hey, it's Rose. Going through old episodes again, and Ben has just told me to email in if I understand Rob's Command and Conquer reference. Hope you lads are having a nice day. I'm going to stop writing this stupid email and escape to the one place no longer corrupted by capitalism.
Spice!
Which is the Tim Curry reference, right?
Yes, because
see, I know
that's
that
where
one.
PC gaming peaked.
Yeah, I know that
Command
one.
Command and Conquer were the best games that you could play on a PC, and Red Alert 2 was my
there
jam.
There you go. There
watching The Crow, listening to Nine Inch Nails, and playing Command & Conquer Red Alert 2 was my vibe.
Put the fucking blazer away, all right? That's all I'm going to say. It's going to be the message, all right? I asked people to email us in. Was it last week or the week before? And I was like, it doesn't matter if you don't know what to say.
Specific feedback. Yeah.
Just email us in. Even if you can't think of anything to say, just email us, calling us cunts. We'd love it. So we had an email from Adam Smart. The subject line is cunts. It just says, cunts. Love, Ad. So,
perfect.
Ad,
perfect.
Thank you so much, because it genuinely did make my day reading that.
So that was Comment Corner. If
that's
you want to be involved, find us on Instagram, TikTok.
Discord.
We've got a Discord little chat room, which is great. Everyone chats amongst themselves. We're really active on there. We've also got an email address. Email us there, calling us cunts.
Yeah.
Ben, the time has come. What are you going to rate Alex Proyas, 1994, The Crow?
I am going to go for... I'm going to go for an 8 out of 10.
Ooh.
For of how hard it hit me emotionally, mm-hmm. for how wholesome it is, even though it is yeah. sort of super edgy, heavy metal.
Sinister, man.
Goth comic book revenge yeah. movie. But it's very wholesome. It's very nice. It's very light and comic in places. But it's also, it's such a fucking gorgeous film to look at. Yeah. Just such a gorgeous film beautiful. To look at. Incredible. Beautiful. I'm going 8. How about you?
I have to recognize where I come from. And mm-hmm. it has to be a fat 10.
Fair.
Has to be a fat 10. It's got loads of flaws. It's not aged as gracefully as perhaps it could have.
Okay.
It went on to, I do genuinely believe that this is patient zero of the edgelord goth boy that you see on TikTok now with just the cringe katana collection. Like, this has to be patient zero. And even knowing that,
yeah,
it's only because of you that I'm not one of those boys on TikTok. So
oh, thank fuck. Thank you. Do you know what I mean?
And thank this film. Yeah. It's a fat 10.
You're welcome, listeners. All right. Because imagine what the podcast would be with that.
Hey, we've got a YouTube video that we made we all do. Special.
We do.
We've got a chunky, healthy listenership on the audio show. And then we put time and effort, and our mate Anthony puts time and effort into a YouTube video. And we see the views. We know you're not clicking. Go click on it, please.
We know who clicks and who doesn't. And we know where you live. All right.
We know where you live.
Rob's got a pet crow. It's not really a crow, it's a raven. You can't train crows, but you can train ravens. And then also, who the fuck's going to know the difference? You know what I mean? Fuck it, put them in the movie. Still pisses
shoot
me off.
From further away, it looks smaller.
Yeah, that's it. What was the point?
All the time. That's all the time we've got for this week. To thank you for spending an hour with us, especially at the start of your week, Ben is going to wrap up the thoughts, feelings, and subtext of this movie into a nice little Monday motivational pep talk, while I just cosplay a society man and I tell you to consume.
Well, I'm going to actually go off book on this one, mate. I don't really think my message of the week is from the movie. It sort of hit me as I was listening to you talking about being scared of the new thing that you want. And I think what I'm going to say is I've recently gone through a similar aspect, different subject matter, similar aspect, where I've invested in something very heavily and convinced myself this is it. I'm not wrong. I can't be wrong. It's terrifying if I'm wrong. But also, you just need to fucking go for it, man. Accept that you might be wrong sometimes, and you'll be fucking mesmerized at some of the shit that opens up, man. That's all it is. Cryptic as fuck. Also, it was a fucking raven. It's a raven!